It's Tuesday, the 12th of October. You're listening to Peter Donegan, as always, w.donneganlandscaping.com, and hit the blog. I did promise that I would have four, maybe five guest speakers churning through the podcast, the loudest gardening podcast in the world, as I like to call it. And this week I am introducing guest speaker number three, and that is no stranger to the blog by any means for those of you who would follow. He's a specialist nursery grower. He's based in Kilkenny in Ireland. His name is Pat Fitzgerald. I spoke with Pat at about 6 o'clock this morning, and I started off by asking Pat how and what got him into this industry.
By force, I suppose, is the best way of describing it. I was usually hauled out of bed maybe 8 o'clock or 8:30 of a Saturday morning to pick spuds. So that was my first memory of horticulture. Of course, we had a farm at home, and we had carrots, potatoes, cabbage, and I even think we had Brussels sprouts at one stage, bits of cauliflower, bits of minor vegetables then on top of that. So that was my first work involvement in horticulture. My first memory of growing anything was when I was about 8 or 9. Myself and my sister, we grew vegetable marrows on a dung heap out the back of the old farmyard. So I suppose the first thing I ever grew were vegetable marrows, and the first time I was ever paid for something horticultural, I think it was 50 pence.
My God, what age were you when you grew the marrows again, Pat?
Well, if it was 50 pence, I must have been about 9, maybe 10.
My God. And from, again, I suppose, Pat, you know, was it a case of that from the, I mean, the folks obviously had a farm, but you were more into the, how would you phrase it, the horticultural side of farming rather than the agricultural side of farming? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. My parents took over the family farm. I was actually born in London. My father and mother emigrated to London for a few years, and my father worked over there for 2 or 3 years, and then I think I was brought back. They actually decided to bring me back to Ireland with them.
And to bless us all.
I think I was about maybe 1.5 or 2 at the time. So, the first contact was with vegetable production, and it was on a sort of a normal family farm here.
And from there, Pat, was it a case that you, I suppose, how do you phrase it, you continue to work on the farm, but I know from there, from my previous conversations with you, that you would have went straight into college.
Yeah, it was forced labour on the on the holidays and weekends and summer. Anything I could do, I did reluctantly. And so planting cabbage or all of these things, the potatoes, picking potatoes in the autumn. And they used to have crews of school kids at that, at weekends. And so from school then I went into horticultural college. And from horticultural college then I went working at vegetables again until I got my memory back. And I worked up in County Meath for a year, and I suddenly realized I didn't like vegetables. So I found myself a new aspect of horticulture, but I did excel in vegetables at college, but I decided on nursery stock as being the future after a few years.
Pat, I suppose, the easiest way to ask the next question or the follow-on from that is, how long has Pat Fitzgerald and Fitzgerald Nurseries on the go?
1990, I started the nursery. 89, I started the build-up for it, I suppose. I was working in the Brothers of Charity for 6 years in Waterford. We had a horticultural workshop there. We had about 34, 35 trainees training them in horticulture. So there were people with special needs, and we had a very good horticultural unit, which still exists there, with Ted O'Kennedy is the manager there now. And I spent 6 years at that, and that was really my grounding in nursery stock.
But the bit, I suppose, after college and after working in Meath, to where you kind of said, right, I need to make a go of this on my own. What was the clincher on that, Pat? What was the day that you actually, I mean, I remember the day I went out on my own, and it was a happy day, but it was also a wake up the next morning and just realised what I had done. What was the bit where you actually decided, right, that's it, I'm going out on my own, the nursery field?
Well, I was getting a little bit too accustomed to the job I was doing, and it wasn't feeling the same as it had been. And I wanted, in any event, to try and make a go of the nursery work. And I actually decided to do it jumping 2 feet first. I got married and I left my job and I started a nursery in the same 3 or 4 months. It was actually very sudden.
In the plant side of it, what was the first plants that Fitzgerald's Nurseries ever grew? And I suppose to follow on from that, why and how?
Well, I suppose if I start with the first two commercial crops I ever grew, Dutch cabbage and Japanese onions were my first two commercial crops. But from an ornamentals point of view, when I started a nursery, I started to build up in 1989. I put up a couple of greenhouses, and for about 6 or 8 months was working at part-time before I left my job. And the first real crop I could say that I still grow now, and I started growing then in 1989-90, was Carex Evergold.
What was the first year? How many plants would you have had in your first season, Pat, as going back to 1990, 20 years ago?
Hell. How many plants did I have the first year? I think it was something like 32,000 or something like that. I remember it was one full greenhouse and that was it.
How many would you have now, just to contrast, in stock?
Sitting on the nursery at the moment, it could be 2.5 to 3 million.
Bit of a change.
A little bit of a change, all right.
What's a daily routine like for Pat Fitzgerald as a nursery man? I mean, is it still 7 days a week?
Invariably, my day starts off coming out straight to the office and checking the email, and then trying to answer the more important ones, and then I try to get out and give a look around the nursery. The staff on the nursery have all their own different disciplines, and it carries on without me, generally, probably better sometimes than others without me. Yeah, I try to have just a quick look around at what's going on when I am here. But, well, last week, for instance, I was in Sri Lanka for a full week. 2 weeks before that, I was in France and Holland for a week and a half. So there is quite an amount of the year puckered with Pat not being here. Once a week, I'm in the laboratory. Then we have another remote site nursery that I try to get to of a Saturday. So it's kind of a lot of jumping around and irregular hours, and sometimes dealing with fires, sometimes dealing with the normal day-to-day business.
And I suppose, Pat, it's fair to say there's a reason. I mean, you know, people hear Sri Lanka, and if you tie that in with, I suppose you might say, nurseryman from Kilkenny, some people might be scratching their heads, but you know, it amazed me when I spoke to you in June just gone to realize how many or what, you know, how high a percentage, I suppose, of your plants are actually exported. What figure are you standing at the moment, Pat, on exports?
I have to be corrected by the end of the year, but I reckon as a percentage, it'll be somewhere between 93 and 95% of our plants now are exported.
And what's going abroad, Pat, and where, I suppose, is the question then?
Up to 2006, we were selling in two countries. Possibly we were selling a little bit into Holland, but mainly UK, Ireland. About, I suppose, up until 2005, it was about 60% Ireland, 40% UK. Then it started to change, and now we would sell maybe about 25% in the UK, maybe 5 to 7% in Ireland, and then the rest is scattered along 15 other countries, 16 other countries, actually.
The type of plants, though, Pat, and where you may differentiate from most of the other nurseries I would know in Ireland and in the UK, it's probably based on the style and the type of planting that you actually develop and grow. Is that fair? Is that a fair enough comment?
We have to focus on plants that there's a market niche in. We're focused on a niche which isn't really the garden. We're not trying to be the structural part of the garden in our plant range. So we're the color filler part, is the way I like to think of it. And there are a lot of purists out there who say, oh my God, you can't have that plant. Well, I'm really sorry for them, because they misunderstand the term gardening. And we try and fill a small section of the garden, not the whole garden. And I would be loath to think that people would use our plants as the basis of a high percentage of their garden. We're focus points. So we have plants, for instance, I planted just tonight in a large container. I planted two Yucca recurvifolia. Yucca recurvifolia is a plant I don't think you'll probably find on anybody's stock lists at the moment in Ireland, possibly not even in the UK. But it's a plant I've identified for our production range because I like its form. I like the weeping shape of the foliage. It's not a spiky yucca. It's a recurved yucca foliage, as the name suggests. So there's a typical type of plant I identify. If somebody ever in their lifetime buys two of them, I'd be really happy. So then the other end of the spectrum, one of our largest selling plants is Carex Evergold. So I've made a bit of a speciality out of Carex, in particular Carex oshimensis, and we have our own breeding program for Carex oshimensis, and we sell probably at this stage around, if not a million, maybe 900,000 Carex oshimensis. Now I'm hoping people will buy more than two of them in their lifetime. And they're generally used for filling nice autumn, winter, early spring color through things like cyclamen or primroses in containers. And if you look around, I don't think you'll find it too difficult to find a Carex Evergold sticking out of some little basket, whether it be color heathers or whether it be maybe in the springtime, you'll see a Carex Evergold peeping out through some primulas, maybe a conifer, maybe a buxus, or maybe a cardeline as a tall plant. So in that particular category, I have three different types of target areas in the containers, and it's an American term, and we go for thrillers, spillers, and fillers. And these are the little plants that make up little interest points in baskets, etc.
But I think, just to clarify, Pat, for those who are listening, you actually don't deal with the Joe public or the general public. You only deal with the trade.
Yeah, you're right. While we do produce for the general public, that's the whole point of the thing. Our end of horticulture is A, developing new plant varieties, B, dealing with and discussing and visiting and trialing with other breeders who bring interesting plants for particular purposes into existence through their breeding work, and then obviously producing and propagating these plants for growers who in turn sell to the retailer. So ours is a specialist business. On one hand, we are trying to predict the future trends, and on the other hand, we're propagating the numbers that are required to fulfill the particular demand that may come for that particular plant.
Pat, I'm going to ask you, when I first came out with the sodcast, I know there was a couple of giggles because of the name. When I first started the blog, I know there was a couple of people, raised their heads and asked, what's a gardener doing blogging? What's your own thoughts on the internet in association with horticulture, and how do you see the two of them working in tandem?
Well, in recent months and in the last 2 years, I suppose, the internet, because TV is probably more focused on what will the mass viewer audience look at. So if you look at some of the gardening programs, which are I find very positive on TV, but you don't have the Barney Johnson type gardening program on TV. Certainly, I haven't seen it. Maybe I don't watch enough TV, which is true. But as a mass media vehicle that you can pick up when you want it and when you can and that you can leave down when you want it, that can be interactive, that can run slots like you're running there with the Sodcast, your blogging. I mean, if I look at your blog and if I look at what you're doing on the Sodcast, and if I look at the culmination of everything else from the point of view of media or whatever on gardening, and look at the content, I'd have to ask the question, how does a guy like this in the back of Dublin do as much content, etc., on a privately run website? I don't come across half the stuff every week in the general media circles. So if we go column inch by column inch, or if we go minute by minute, obviously you've mastered a vehicle to highlight horticulture or highlight gardening that you've been able to run as a one-man operation. How you do it, I don't know, but you do, and it's a credit to you that you've been able to create a platform like you have. And there's the summary, sum total, of the power of the internet in what you're doing.
Do you think it's done you any advantages, Pat, being on, you know, I mean, you have a bit of a blog yourself, you've got the Twitter going, you're guesting on the Sodcast?
Yeah, is the answer. It has, yeah. In the USA, for instance, how do I know some of the garden designers over there? How do I know what's going on from the point of view of some of design and trends on the West Coast? It's because of the internet. There's some great bloggers, Twitterers, Facebookers over there on the West Coast of America, so I can get information and I can interact with people who have the same interest as I have. So without the internet, I would be in isolation from the point of view of bouncing off of people or asking questions or sharing information about what we do and about what they do. You'd want to be stupid not to realize that without the internet, you simply couldn't do that cost effectively or practically.
And that's about all I have time for. You can catch more of Pat and myself on the Sodcast, the loudest gardening podcast in the world, available to download from iTunes or from the blog. That's blog.donneganlandscaping.com. You'll also find me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/Donegan Gardens. And as always, you can email me info@donneganlandscaping.com. I'll talk to you Thursday. Take care and happy 2 days of gardening until we speak to each other next. Bye for now.
Welcome to the loudest gardening podcast in the world, the Sodcast, with your host, Peter Donegan.